Welcome. Testing 1, 2. We're coming on. We're getting some volume. Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome in the room. Good number of folks showed up. And for those of you that decided to stay home, I appreciate your discernment and what to do in this time. There are some notes up here. Still a few left. One thing I did forget, if you get rid of the echo, the Canon echoing on that, check that out, whatever that is. I did forget to put the title on the notes. So the title of today's message is, Who is God? And so I'm excited to share this. This word dropped in my spirit actually a little over a month ago. And so I'm not reacting. Sometimes we get into crisis situations and we think that God reacts. And so we're trying to respond to what's going on right now. And I have to say that this year I've had more peace than probably any year in my life. When I exited last year, the last weekend of last year, December 29th, I felt that the most paramount, the most important thing for this year is to know God resting in your life. And so the last time I spoke here at A-Life, I spoke to you about God resting in your life. And if you've been following my blogs, I've been blogging that at least on the Wednesday blog, the TED for Leaders blog. And so just really being aware that God rests in your life. And he redefines rest in our life. Rest is not because he's exhausted. Rest is because he's very satisfied. He's really satisfied with you. And so he's decided to stay. He's decided to stay in your life and say it's very good. And so now you can find purpose from that place. And so about a little over a month ago, as I was going out on some journeys, back when you could go out on journeys, I felt this word, who is God? And I want to present that to you today. And so who is God in your life? We got some PowerPoint coming up on here, some visibility. Yeah, who is God in your life? Now, whatever you're looking at is what you are going to look like. Okay, so pop that point. Pay attention to these points there. Andy, come on up with it. Whatever you're looking at is who you're going to look like. All right? Now, the truth is, how do you know who's God in your life? What are you looking at? What's got your attention? What are you thinking about? What consumes your day? What's the first thought when you get up in the morning? Okay? Then chances are work is trying to be a God in your life. Now, no condemnation. We all are wrestling with these little g gods. But he wants us to know that he's resting in our life. He's in our life. Now, he gets the work thing. He wants us to be with us in work. He wants to be within us all the responsibilities that we have. But in the midst of all the things that we have, what are we looking at? Now, I've been a believer for 47 years, and I started out pretty strong in, you know, in discipleship, and really, you know, I've always been 150% in on everything I do. I was 150% sinner, and I've been 150% believer, sometimes 200%. But early on, we used to have these teachings about, you know, what's first in your life. And I used to stress over, make sure that God is first, and then what is second? First is God, and then his family, and then his maybe church, and what, you know, you have all this list. But after a while, I got a revelation. It's not that complicated. Create a circle. Put God in the middle. And now he's first in everything of your life. He doesn't want you to do the God thing and then do your thing. He wants you to realize that your thing is the God thing. He really likes you and he gets it. And he wants to be in your life. So in all of your life, what are you looking at? Now, he doesn't want to get you religious and getting you like, whoa, I mean, you know, I'm just fixated on this holy figure of who God is. No, I'm fixed on his presence in my life. And I've been very diligent this year to really practice that, really practice his presence. I always do that, but I've been really diligent to do that, aware that whatever I'm looking at now. We've heard a lot here at A-Life Family about identity. All last year, identity. You probably experienced in your own life God removing some of false identity so that you can find your true identity. If we went on the buzzwords, we would probably find out people trying to find their true self. whether you know Jesus or you don't. The good news is he knows you. So if you don't know him, it's okay. He knows you. He would want you to know him so that you can receive all the benefits that you should be getting. So you should believe in him because he believes in you. He believed in you so much that when he broke bread, which was really his body, he said, "This is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't say, "Judge one another according to the flesh." Do what? Would you be broken for others the way I'm broken? Would you believe in others before they believe the same way I believed in you? And then would you invite them to experience what you know? So we've been going through this identity thing. But the truth is, when we look at God, whatever we're looking at is going to give us our identity. It's going to give us our testimony. And it's going to give us our purpose. We can find that in Ephesians. Paul prayed a prayer. He said, "I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be open, that you would know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance that's in those who are set apart to him, his saints, and the working of his power that's in you, the same power that rose him from the dead, that makes it so that you, as the body of Christ, are above every principality, every power, every throne, every dominion, every day." In the time when Paul said that, and even right now, and even tomorrow that hasn't happened yet. We don't need to be worrying about tomorrow, by the way, because we got plenty to think about today. So don't add what hasn't happened yet. But now, what has your attention now? Who has your attention? Because whatever you're looking at is going to give you your identity, your testimony, and your purpose. Now, whatever you're in awe of is going to give you your identity. Whatever you're in awe of. Now, what do I mean by in awe of? I'm not just looking, I'm in awe of it. The Bible calls that the fear of the Lord. And I do believe prophetically, I would say, in grace-wise, where are we at? We heard a word today about there's apostolic grace. The word apostle simply means sent one. And you're all supposed to be sent ones. So an apostolic spirit is God wants everybody to be sent for their purpose. He wants every little tree to find its place in the forest and its purpose. You know, what kind of nut are you? We need all the nuts. We need all the fruits. We need all the nuts. We need all the trees in the forest. So who are you? God wants you to know who you are. And in knowing who you are, he wants you to become the people of God. Now, you cannot find who you are unless you first find who he is. Because he's not in your likeness and image. You're in his likeness and image. But you're twisted. I didn't say you're bad. I said you're twisted. Why? You've been looking at the wrong stuff. I've been looking at the wrong stuff. And so if I look at what's going on in the world, or I look at what's going on in my world, and I try to figure out God, I'm not going to figure out God. I'm going to figure out all the stuff that's going on around in my world. And that won't give me my true identity. So I have to say, my heart is good, my heart is right, I want to know who I am, but I can't know who I am unless I know you, God. And I need an awe of you. And so I would say that we're about 20 years into a 30-year cycle of birthing us becoming the people of God. So we're in a 10-year. And you know, the next grace bleeds into the present grace. Now, if that goes over your head, just trust me prophetically. I'm just telling you, God is doing things. And you think differently than you did 10 years ago. And the honest truth is, you did not do it. Now, you partnered in it, but he did something in your life. Even in the world, there are new thoughts. And I think that's like, you know, God speaks, everybody hears, but they don't know what it is. And so it gets twisted, it gets perverted, but something is happening. I'm getting a little excited because it's springtime. Except for it was 27 degrees this morning when I ran. It was a little cold, poco frio. It was, and the wind was blowing just a little bit today. But I'm getting ready to plant something in my garden. And I'm looking for the time. You know how I'll know it's time to plant something? Weeds will start to grow. If the weeds aren't growing, it's not time to plant anything. Because nothing will grow. So don't be discouraged by a few weeds. It means there's poop in the soil and the sun is shining. It means it's time for the real thing to show up. So I'm not worried about the twisted things. But I'm going to say right now, we are in a shift where God wants us to move in the direction of being in awe of Him. John wrote it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. John described this place of awe like this. I think we have those scriptures there, Andy. 1 John, pop that up there. 1 John 2, verse 12. He says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Okay. Then he says, what does he say? Keep it popping on up there. We got them all on there. Okay. I write to you fathers because you have known Him who is from the beginning. And I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you have known the Father. I write to you fathers because you've known Him who's from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. Now in these verses, three different categories are addressed of family. Three different categories of the human race. Three different categories of community are addressed. The ones who have been around a while, the ones who have just showed up, and the ones who are in the middle. Okay, so all of the human race is made of those who just got born and those who are on the journey of trying to figure it out and those who have figured it out but now still have to live having figured it out. Life is not about figuring it out. Life is about knowing Him. So God wants us all to become fathers and mothers. We can include male and female in this. Your true identity is to be a father or a mother. What does that mean? You don't live for yourself anymore. You live for others and you live for the next generation. You've figured out this. In all the smartness of your brain, you can't do much. But in the brokenness of your life, something of you can become bread for eating and seed for sowing. Come on. And you should, and I'm not talking just age here, because you should have experiences of being a father or a mother even at a younger age. And that happens when you're sitting, I remember sitting at my desk when I was pastor of this church. And when, you know, you're always facing stuff. You do understand that when the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, means we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So it means there really are spiritual powers. This is a little rabbit trail, but I've just been thinking this week in regards to Daniel. You know, the angel Gabriel came to Daniel with the answer to Daniel's prayer 21 days after Daniel prayed. And the angel said, I heard you. God heard you on the first day. And I had the answer, but I couldn't get to you because the prince of Persia wouldn't let me pass. And so I was battling the prince of Persia and I had to send for Michael. And Michael came and we kicked butt and I finally got here. And so here's what God says. On day one, 21 days ago, this is the answer that He sent you. And it's taken me 21 days. Now, I've got to leave and I'm going to be going back and the prince of Greece is going to be there. So I got to go face him. So you need to understand that what you're dealing with in life is not natural. There are spiritual powers. And I got news for you. I feel very strongly that answers have already been given. But there are angels. There are angels that are battling on our part and bringing answers into our lives. And sometimes you got to go get some reinforcement. So you guys keep at it up there. You keep doing what you're doing in the dimension of the spirit. Go, ha, ha, come on. Hey, Gabriel, Michael, whoever's Warren, you guys are doing all right. And so God's given answers. Listen to me. God's already answered you on a lot of things. So don't lose heart. Because angels are ministering spirits sent unto those who inherit salvation. So if you forget who you are, they lose energy.
It's true. Come on.
Don't forget who you are. You're a child of God. Now, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. However, it's going to manifest in flesh and blood. That's why Paul says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's always going to come in the form of human beings, but it's not really human beings. Now, you can believe that or not believe that, and if you don't believe that, you're wrong, so that's okay. I'm not the one who said it, and I've been around long enough, 47 years. Now, here, I shared all that to tell you this. I was sitting in my office one day facing a situation that looked like it was in the form of flesh and blood. And God said, oh, this is no big deal. You beat this one before. This is the same one, just a different battle. So I write to you fathers, mothers, because you've seen a few things. It's not your first rodeo. God has won. We sang it today. Okay? Now, God wants us to all come to that place, men and women, where we're secure enough that we know we're here to love people, to love the children, and to help them grow up and overcome. But also, we should always be like little children. My sins are forgiven, and I got a father. Okay, if you forgot that, tell yourself that right now. Hey, my sins are forgiven and I got a father who loves me. Don't ever grow up out of that. Okay, but now in between, you got to overcome. I write to young men, young women, not age or gender, but in who we are as human beings. I'm encouraging you as overcomers, be strong in what God says. The word. And be strong in his presence. Be strong in the spirit. Be strong in the word. Don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in him. Let him be strong in you. Be an overcomer. Why? When you overcome, you liberate your world from shackles and chains. And you're going to overcome this week. Well, not totally, but bit by bit, you're going to overcome some stuff and your world's going to change. Oh, your heart's going to change. The sky's going to be bluer. The grass is going to be greener. Because he who is in you is greater than anything that's in this world. Now, what you're looking at, what you're going to become, what you're in awe of. Now, in family that isn't dysfunctional, which is doesn't exist outside of Christ, but in a family that's not dysfunctional, parents create an environment where little children can be in awe of parents and grandparents. That's a picture-perfect world. Now, I don't throw away a picture-perfect world because I live in an imperfect world. So parents, create an environment where your children can be in awe of you. Now, how are you going to do that? You're going to need to be in awe of God. That's the only way. Now, don't be in awe of ministry. Don't be in awe of religion. Be in awe of God in your life. Okay? Now, let's all be in awe of God. We'll create an environment that inspires others to be in awe of him too. Because only being in awe of him makes us overcomers. Now, what you are looking at today is going to determine where you will end up tomorrow. What you're looking at today is going to determine where you're going to end up tomorrow. Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23, Jesus said this, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Now, you would have to look at the full context of Scripture to understand that a little bit more, because there are other scriptures that says the eye is the window of the soul. It's not the door. Now, you as a human being, I've said this before, I'll say it to you again, I'm trying to make it very simple. You need to know who you are. So wherever you're at right now, watching or listening in this room, you are a human being. You are spirit, you are soul, and you are body. Three distinct different realities, but one. And anything that separates your spirit, soul, and body from one another is anti-life. Your spirit is really good. Your soul is really good. Your life is really good. And the more those three things are one, the more you become an expression of the kingdom of God in natural ways. The kingdom of God is within you, but it's not within you to be unreal. It's within you so that you express naturally what the kingdom of God is. If there's no expression of what the kingdom of God is, if you're not creating a world that supplies fruit to others, the actions of your life, the attitude of your life, the things that you do provide life. I'm not talking about life that is self-fulfillment. I'm talking about life that is in awe of the giver of life. That is delighted in the giver of life. So your spirit and your spirit, the more your spirit is connected to Holy Spirit, the more your spirit is going to leap. The more your spirit's going to have peace when you shouldn't have peace in your head. The more your spirit's going to have faith when everything looks like, wow, I shouldn't have faith. The more you keep your spirit activated. And so you got to stir up your spirit. Ha! Figure out how to stir up your spirit. That's why I love even the simplest things that God gives, which is speaking in tongues, praying in another language you don't understand. You know what the greatest thing about it is? You don't understand. That's what's so powerful about it. Well, I don't get it. That's what is so amazing about it. It's supposed to keep you stupid. It keeps you full of life. Now, if you say, well, I don't have that expression, well, then just express something. If he's groaning in you with groans that can't be uttered, give an utterance. Oh, Jesus. Well, that'll get you through the day. Oh, Jesus. Now, believe for whatever's going to come, but quit being so smart in your head that you think it's foolish to be foolish with your spirit. Let your heart grow. Let your heart grow. And just stir your spirit, because your spirit then is going to give you thoughts. There'll be an interpretation. Your thinking will get straight. You'll start thinking rightly, and then you'll start getting strategy with it. Now, listen to me. You can govern your life. Stop trying to govern what's none of your business. And get busy governing your business. Now, the eyes are the window, not the door. And so we should see light coming out of you. Now, how are we going to see light coming out of you? How are you going to see light coming out of me? My spirit is connected to Holy Spirit. I'm looking in the kingdom of God that's inside of me, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, if my focus is on people, Now listen to me. God loves people. And he wants you to love people more than you do. More than I do. But he does not want you loving people more than loving him. God wants you to love who you are, but he does not want you loving who you are more than you love who he is, or you'll bind him from changing who you are. Because you will try to make him become like you. He is love. He doesn't just do love. So when he does something that you don't think is loving, you're the one that's wrong, not him. Now, get a bigger perspective, but then also get a better judgment of what's really going on. I even look at the judgments in the Old Testament, and if you just don't get stuck in the verses, but you read the stories, you'll realize that every judgment was not a judgment that God put on people. It was a consequence for them not coming to God out of the zone of the consequence. Come on. We have all kinds of things. God heal our land. Heal this land of this stuff that's going. But God, I've got to acknowledge to you that in the nations, we're doing a lot of stuff that's not like you. And we're creating a lot of crap that we could step in. You're not the one that put any plague on us. But there's a lot of stuff that we're doing that's not honorable to you. We're not in awe of you. Help us. Forgive us. We're stupid. And grant us the ability to come before your throne boldly and find that mercy, reach out and take it. God, we're not asking you to just love us in our condition. We need you to love us so much you'll change us.
Yes.
You know, we are doing some things that we shouldn't be doing. I'm a living testimony. I lost almost 50 pounds, 46 pounds. My blood pressure used to be 200 over 110. My blood pressure now is 120 over 62. But I don't eat what I used to eat. I could count on one hand probably the number of candy bars I've had in the last year. Okay, now, I'm not telling you what to eat or what not to eat. I'm telling you, listen to the Holy Spirit and let God change your heart on some stuff. Now, you can't just do anything you want and then say, well, God is good and there's no consequence. Come on. We're doing stuff. So God, forgive us and heal our land. Change us. Or we're going to get the same result that we're getting. When we deny you and we exalt people above you, our focus is on people. We're in awe of people and not you. But if we are in awe of you, we will become loving. If our eye is on being religious or being dogmatically judgmental, our eye is on the wrong thing. It's neither legalism nor lawlessness. See, I'll still go back to 1987, standing in a vision in this city. I saw an open eye vision standing in this very city, Bellingham, Washington, down on Railroad Avenue by the bus corner in my vision, standing there, and a principality was over this city shouting blatantly two things. There is no God. There are no absolutes. And then I heard someone say, pull him down. He had three chains coming down to the crowd. And then I heard God say, see, I heard someone say, pull him down. But then I heard God say, I don't want him down. I want him out of here. In my vision, I turned and put the principality to my side instead of looking at it. Instead of giving it my attention, I just let it be out my peripheral. And I lifted my hands and I began to worship God. And thousands of young people joined me on Railroad Avenue, lifted up their hands. And Jesus began to descend into the crowd in bodily form. And as he did, the chains stretched out and pop, they began to pop. Now, I got to tell you, there are absolutes. And there is a God. Okay, but my focus is not being anti-absolutes or anti there is no God. My focus is becoming the body of Christ, because when the body of Christ descends in our midst, when we become an expression of the body of Christ, it dispossesses every other prince. God doesn't want the powers of darkness down in your life. He wants them out of your life. So how are you going to do that? Become a place of the body of Christ. Become the habitation of God, the expression of God. Whatever you're in awe of is what you become like. And so wherever your eye is looking is where you're going to end up. Now, we must discover God resting in our lives. Now, how do I know that God is resting in my life? We got a PowerPoint there. We must discover God resting in our lives. How do I know he's resting in my life? Well, I see him every day. Do you see him every day or you just see him Sunday? Do you see him every day? Okay. Then how do I know I see him every day? Well, I become like him a little bit more every day. I'm going to become like whatever's resting in my life. His thoughts are like fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control is a fruit, by the way. The more we delight in him, gentleness, goodness, these are all fruits of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 says this. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Some translations read it this way, because there's two different Greek texts. One Greek text reads, the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Another Greek text reads, the fruit of light, the fruit of phos, the fruit of light is righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay, now, righteousness, goodness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of light is righteousness, goodness, and truth. Okay, it is true that the fruit of light is righteousness, goodness, and truth. But I also like the other Greek translation that says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Because I don't know what's good. I think I do, but I don't. I don't know what's righteous. I think I do, but I really don't. I don't know what's truth. I very often think I know what is truth, but I really don't. Now, so how would I know it's good? How would I know it's righteous? And how would I know it's true? The fruit of the Spirit would be manifest. I like that version because the Bible tells me what the fruit of the Spirit is. Goodness, right? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness. Okay, if that's not present, then there's something in me that's not good. No circumstance in life can rob you of the fruit of the Spirit. The only thing that can rob you of the fruit of the Spirit is your attention went elsewhere. It went different than you let something else rest in your life. In the very beginning, the first deception. Anybody been there? The first deception looked like this. Did God really say? Okay, and then begin to entertain. You begin to say, well, I wonder if that's really exactly what he did say. Well, maybe he didn't say that. Okay, so the first deception sounded a little bit like that. And so then the first deception decides, what the ultimate deception, you know it's deception because deception makes you smart. The knowledge of good and evil is like all the other trees. It tastes good, looks good. And everything in life should taste good, should look good. The only difference is that tree makes you independent, makes you smart. Okay? Deception looks like this. You know and no one else does. Okay? Made you smart. Okay? Now, the consequence of that was wherever there's a dry place, this is what God said to the serpent, because of this deception and this disconnection now, and because you did this, devil, in earthly, in fleshly form, from now on, the serpent will crawl on his belly in the dust. So the bottom line is this, wherever there's a dead place, a spirit has to rest there. Wherever there's a dead place, a spirit has to rest there. Deception, deceiving, devouring, and conflict. Wherever there's fear, if fear rests in your life, a spirit of fear has to rest there. Yeah. Whatever's resting in your life is what you're going to be in awe of. Or what you're in awe of is allowed to rest in your life. And when it's resting in your life, your eye attention is going to be on that, and then what's going to happen is you're going to become like that. So God, would you, he would. God, thank you that you rest in our lives. Thank you that you've given us a spirit of love. Love, you rest here, rest here. Love, rest here. Peace, rest here. Joy, rest here. God, rest here, rest here. You rest. I'm making a place for you. Yeah. Ha! I settle in that place. You really like me, God. You really like me. My sins are forgiven. You're my daddy and you love me. So I thank you that you rest in my life. And so I make this place now. I allow you to rest in my life. And I'm going to allow the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if the fruit of the Spirit doesn't manifest, then I'm going to chill from what's getting my attention. A prophetic word came, I think it was last weekend, was it one? Don't be distracted by the things that distract, or was that 2 weeks ago? Rhonda, you shared about the smell of jasmine a couple of weeks ago. Okay? That God, that love rests here. Love lives here. Don't be distracted by the things that distract, but be attracted by the things that attract. Be attracted by God's presence in your life. Let God's presence abide in you right now, right in the midst of everything. Now, whatever is in the beginning and the end will determine the middle. Whatever's in the beginning and the end. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says this. Through wisdom a house is built. By understanding that house is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Really, I believe this is talking about you and me and our identity, our testimony, and our purpose. So what's going to give us our identity? We're going to need some wisdom. Because the only way I can move forward is to move forward as who I am. So wisdom is about getting from today to tomorrow. Wisdom comes by faith. And faith comes by hearing. Not by seeing what's going on around you. It comes by hearing God in your heart. Through wisdom, the house is going to be built. What is God saying? Okay. Before we make any judgments or opinions of things, maybe we should stir our heart and see what God says. And watch what happens inside of you. It might be contrary to what's happening inside your head. Okay, so put your attention to God and watch what springs up inside of you. Yes. And if it feels like life, that's life. Yeah, come on. It feels, look, it's freedom. It's life. It gives a release. It doesn't condemn. But it doesn't come from here. It comes from inside here. Through wisdom, a house is built. But through understanding, it's established. Now, understanding is going to come when you have your hope in the right place. Because faith comes by hearing, but hope comes by knowing Him. Knowing Him is not knowing what He's going to do. Knowing Him is not knowing what you're doing. Knowing Him is knowing Him. Everything's going to be all right. He's in my life. And so I'm going to be established because I have this hope. Okay, let's settle this. Okay, I got really good news for you. You were alive. But when you cultivated your independence, you further disconnected yourself from the roots, the soil that your roots grow in. So you wilted and you withered and you died. And so every human being is in that place. When Adam sinned, he put sin in the cosmos, in the world. You did not inherit sin from your parents. You inherited weaknesses. And sin is in the cosmos, which then makes you vulnerable in your weaknesses. Because Adam, old Adam, first Adam, created that environment. And because there's that environment of sin in the cosmos, if it wasn't for a miracle, you're in trouble because your iniquity is going to make you vulnerable to disconnect and sin. And when you disconnect, you die. God doesn't kill sinners. Sin kills sinners. Being disconnected from the life source, they kill you every time. I'm not just talking about in the hereafter. I'm talking about in this life. Disconnection from the one who gives you life will make a bummer week. Okay? Now, Jesus came. And He became an eternal Adam for us. And He didn't make it so that you automatically inherit everything that Jesus came to give you. He put it in the cosmos. And how did He do that? He's not only in heaven, He's still here. You understand the Holy Spirit is here now, different than it was before Jesus came. So Holy Spirit is in the cosmos. So it's possible for you to choose life. Whereas previously it wasn't possible. Now, it isn't just an automatic. It's a choice. You choose life. Whereas sin had us bound, life is more powerful than that. So now there's a greater power in the world than was in the world before. And you've been given life. But not just life, you have the hope of eternal life. That's life that can't die. And it's not just for when you die, it's for right now. So here's some great hope. You've got life that can't be killed. If you've not said yes to that, do that today. Get that. Okay, if you're listening right now and you have not said yes to that, my goodness, do business. Put it in your words. But get God in your life. Say yes. Get what's in the cosmos. Grab Holy Spirit. Get Holy Spirit. Get intimate with Holy Spirit, not just human spirit. Your human spirit came from God, and it says there is a God. But you need more than human spirit. You need Holy Spirit to make your human spirit come alive. Okay, now that you've got that, you've got a great hope. And then the knowledge of your life is going to by knowing the presence of Holy Spirit, listening to God in your life, you're going to become the special treasure that you were meant to be. Now, one final comment I'm going to say here today is whatever is in the center of your world will determine what your world becomes. Whatever is in the center of your world is going to determine what your world becomes. We used to sing a song a long time ago. You see, when you get white hair in your face, you get them a long time ago. We used to do these things. You get those statements. A long time ago, we used to sing, Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my hope, Jesus. Good song. Jesus, be the center, be my strength. I don't know. Be my, be whatever. Yeah, be my life, Jesus. We need to make God the center of everything in our lives. So I want you to stand. Whatever's in the center of my world is going to determine what my world becomes. Now, how is Jesus going to be in the center of my world? He's not out here. He's in here. The gate of heaven is the human heart. The heart is not this part right here that just beats blood through you. It's your spirit. It's the weird part of you. It's a dimension of you that's inside of you and outside of you. It's a dimension of you that is in heaven and on earth at the same time. It's a weird part of the human being. It's not your soul, it's your spirit. And you need Jesus. Jesus is there right now. So maybe you've made confessions and you've invited him to do that. I'm looking around the room. I think everybody I see here has done that. But if you're watching online, there is a need to make confessions. There's a need to say stuff. There's a need to talk to the one who loves you and you to talk to the one you love. And so I'm just going to say right now, and I like to put my hands on myself because the heart of my being is my spirit that's connected to God. And the blood of that heart is the Holy Spirit, grace. The blood of my body was human blood. Jesus shed human blood so that I could drink the cup of resurrection life, not just when I die, but right now. So Jesus, I thank you that you're in the center of my life right now. And I just want to be aware of you more and more. God, you're in the center of our lives. You can say that however you want. I put you there right now. Jesus, I put you in the center of my being. God, you know that I'm not, there's a lot of stuff that gets my attention. I'm seeing things and hearing things and feeling things all the time. Stuff around me gets my attention. But don't let that be a louder voice, a louder feeling, or a louder vision than what's happening inside of me. I pray right now for every one of us in this room and online that Jesus, you would be seen. That, as Pastor Jonathan says, that we would find you today. That we would experience you. see you in the center of our lives. I pray, even right now, even in our own community, I pray for people who are unaware of you, that they would become aware of you. I pray that in the nations, you would become the center of many, 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 many people. Would you become the center of our lives? Whatever's in the center is going to determine everything. And so we welcome you. We say yes to you. And we ask you to move. Move powerfully. We receive the answers that have already been given. We thank you that breakthroughs have already come. And we're saying yes. This week, we're going to open up the eyes of our heart. And we're going to expect to see you. Be ambushed by you. Be ambushed by your presence. To be overcomers. Being strong in your word. What you say. Strong in your spirit. Hearing you by faith so that wisdom, our house is built. Knowing this eternal life hope that nothing can ever stop us. Always you come through so we can be established and realizing that we are a testimony of you because you partner with us in all things and we are becoming uniquely expressions of you in treasured ways. And so God, we thank you. So we thank you now that you're rising up in the nations. And we just bless that. We say a special prayer right now for Pastor Jonathan and Danny and Aubrey in London in Spain. We ask that you just refresh them, revive them where they're at. And we just look forward to what you're going to do in us as the people of God. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. Thank you, all of you who came today, quite a few, and all of you who tuned in online. Have an awesome week. And just let God be resting in your life. And be the family of God, the people of God. Amen? Amen. And I'm just going through the motions.